Welcome to Poderosas FC Radio. I'm your host, Maite, and on today's episode, my guest host is...
Ruby! Nice to meet everybody.
Okay. Meet everybody? Everybody already knows who you are.
Okay, well, nice to say hi to everybody again.
Yeah. First off, I'm sorry for the long hiatus. It's been a wild year, and we haven't been able to really record, so... What are you going to do? We're back now, and we're going to be a lot more consistent, hopefully, for the remainder of the season. And we're just going to catch up today, and I'm really excited to have Ruby on for many, many reasons, which we'll get into after we do our Poderosas announcements, where we talk about events and community highlights. And in particular, I want to talk about our game on August 21st, which is going to be our Salvadorian Heritage Month. With Savi's Who Lunch game. Yeah, it's going to be, I think it'll be great. And they, in particular, have a special link to purchase tickets where a portion of the proceeds is going to go to the LA Street Vendor Solidarity Fund.
Yes.
Which is awesome because obviously LA has been going through a lot. Again, what else is new? But with ICE having a really, really horrendous presence in our city and terrorizing the people that live here. So, but actually on that topic, we have been throughout Poderosas and throughout Angel City, just at protests and making all kinds of, visual statements about it, including Angel City having basically every single seat in the house have a ACFC Immigrant City Football Club shirt. And obviously that game did not go according to plan. We're going to get into that, and it's part of the reason that I wanted to have Ruby on the show today. But in the meantime, please visit our Instagram, Poderosas ACFC, because we have a link tree on there. It has resources as mutual aid opportunities, activations regarding Palestine solidarity and ICE terror. And with that, I'm just going to quickly give an update from our committee within Poderosas. They're called our Poderosas Palestine Solidarity Committee, along with the Youth Organized California, or Yo Cali, who recently hosted a screening of a film called From Ground Zero, Stories from Gaza. It's by Watermelon Pictures. And during that screening, this was a very touching afternoon of solidarity with the people of Gaza. Guests heard directly from Palestinian filmmakers who told their own stories during the first month of the current genocide. They got to hear from a guest from the Palestinian Feminist Collective and break bread together, just community building activities, a bunch of, actions. And I'll kind of put it in the description of this episode, but they were raising funds for the Middle East Children's Alliance and amplifying the message that we've been talking about for a while now, which is Free Palestine. And we were able to raise $1,916. So thank you to everyone who attended and who donated online. And thank you to Anwar's Kitchen in downtown LA for the food. Go support them. And special thanks to Las Fotos Project for providing the space. Special thanks to Alchem Home Fashions for their generous donations of Palestinian-themed items and Palestinian olive oil for the fundraiser. And yeah, check them out on IG. I'll also link that below. But, just as a reminder, as Gaza enters the final stage of famine, which is forced starvation by the Israeli regime, it is really, really important that we amp up our support in all the meaningful ways and calling your elected officials, joining organizations doing the work, donating to organizations, wearing your kufia, whatever it takes, and just keep demanding that the blockade be lifted. So, just lastly, we want to emphasize that from LA to occupied Palestine, our struggles are all connected. And we just, want to keep putting that out into the world because this is not over, even though obviously we have a lot going on here. And we see our communities terrorized by ICE and other agents, and it's our duty to elevate our collective voice and our actions to denounce state violence and demand liberation for all. So sorry, that was kind of a lot.
No, I think it was, I love that you're sharing. 1900, that's very impressive. Great job to Poderosas and the community. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, that committee, they work hard, So Without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and have my guest host, Ruby, introduce herself. I'm really, really excited because this is the first time that we have a guest from a different supporters group, which is Mosaic, one of our closest supporter group allies. And I love you guys. So, yeah, please introduce yourself. Tell me as much as you want to give, honestly, but, you know, who you are, where you're from, and everything else.
Oh my God, where am I from? I'm just kidding. Hi, I am Ruby Badillo. I am an avid Angel City supporter with Mosaic 1781, very part of our supporter group here. I love to hear the allyship between Poderosas as well. I am a Latina Salvadoran American woman here. I'm super excited to be on this podcast too. I've heard you do this so many times. I know you've tried to, and I kind of shy away and I run away. But I'm excited. I'm not excited of our topic because it's such a difficult kind of thing to discuss, and it's incredibly frustrating. But also, I appreciate, you know, you and Poderosas for bringing this up, and I just know how you guys show up in the stands, or how you show up in the community is how you show up in general. So I just want to let you guys know that I've always been very proud of that, and I'm glad to be at least on the outside of it at times, but a part of it when I can as well.
Yeah, not even super on the outsides. I feel like all our Poderosas internal events were like, well, we're inviting Ruby, obviously.
And you know what? I always try to make it too when I can. I did miss the film. I know I had a family event, and I was kind of all over the place, but I know we're probably going to get into it a little later, but I've been running into you guys a little more in our community lately, and I love that. So it kind of just happens organically.
Yeah. I was told that they ran into you in some events and some, you know, organized events.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what led to me, like, reiterating wanting to have you on the podcast.
Okay.
Which is great, yeah. Shout out to Claudia, who made that suggestion, I believe. And so how did you get involved with Mosaic?
How did I become involved with Mosaic? Mosaic start, well, there's all that history, right? But leading up to it, it's just, long story short, I'm a fan, was, well, it's a tricky conversation with my LA Galaxy team right now.
Sure.
Not really tricky, I'm just disappointed. I'm trying to sort what I'm feeling right now and all that. But in general, I've been a season ticket member there for a while. There is a group of supporters there, women who, you know, found out that the Angel City team was coming to LA. And, you know, the team didn't have a name yet. They just knew that there was soccer coming to Los Angeles. And I love telling the story because it's so interesting. There is, you know, I go with a group of friends, and, you know, a lot of them are couples. So one of my friends, one of my really good friends, John, his wife, Itzel, happened to get into the original, like, Instagram chat with all this group of all these women that were trying to get the supporter group together. And they were just trying to sort out, like, hey, what is this going to look like? How are we going to be able to form? What are our activities that we're going to do? All that stuff, right? Like, from the ground up. And she suggested that I join. That group eventually became Mosaic 1781. And funny enough, she's not even a part of it, and I stayed in that group. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, but if it wasn't for her, I don't think I ever would have gotten into the message or anything. And I think it's funny because she could kind of care less about, like, soccer. She just goes to, like, for the vibe and to hang out in community and stuff like that. But I always tell her, like, thank you. Because of you, I was able to meet, like, this whole other, you know, world. Yeah, that's how I kind of became a part of Mosaic 1781.
I feel that. I mean, all the groups, I feel like, have their own quirks and have their own, like, things. But what do you feel, like, Mosaic specifically, like, what sets it apart from the rest of the groups?
Oh, that's a hard question. You're asking hard questions. I can't speak for every group, right? Because I know everybody has their own, you know, like, their own nucleus, your own, you know, way of going about things. I know one of the things that I've grown to appreciate, and it's something that I still continue to see, is just Mosaic 1781 definitely gave me a purpose. Like, in community, it was one of the groups that definitely, you know, it's one of the first times that I did volunteer work, like, outside of maybe like work related things and other situations. They've definitely provided an environment where I can be myself. I participated in my first Pride with Angel City within Mosaic 1781. Just being able to show up like as myself as well. And honestly, just personal growth and just being surrounded by so many individuals, professional individuals, from all walks of life. It's just such an inclusive group, one that can keep themselves grounded in a sense. We all have very, very good relationships, but also everybody's just very, very humble, very put together. I don't know how to really say it. It's like it genuinely feels like a family. Like we're all there just for each other. But also to enjoy soccer. And even now, as we're seeing these things happen in LA with, ICE terrorizing, our communities and the LA fires earlier this year, and any time where we've had, any type of situation impacting our community, like our group never hesitates to come together, and you realize that all these people in this group really, really, really care. And it's something just so beautiful about that. And I love, I absolutely love just being a part of that.
And you already mentioned that you were kind of a part of the LA Galaxy, whatever, fan club. Obviously not right now. They need to do better. But is that how
They do.
you like what was your introduction to football? Like that's is that how you kind of got into it, or is this something that came from before that?
For soccer, so soccer is just, well, it's our Latino thing, right? Soccer is
Yeah.
like
In our blood.
our in our blood, so it runs deep. But it was usually just like family kind of stuff, barbecues y todo eso, and like the games are playing in the background and stuff. But no, for soccer, for me specifically, it was something that I shared with my uncle. And I've shared this story a few times too, that it was, as I got into sports, as I got older in middle school and things like that, I started playing, outside like AYSO leagues and at my middle school. But in the AYSO league here in the our South Central region, we started getting tickets to the LA Galaxy for free because we were part of that group. So as those tickets started coming in, and they were free because back then we used to have a hard time, we couldn't afford to go out to these things. But my uncle would always take me, so it was just something that we bonded over. He took me to the first game when it was at the Home Depot Center. And that's how I kind of just started doing our thing. It was our thing. So we were there from opening night at that brand new stadium. My uncle has since passed, but it's something that he left instilled in me and something I wanted to continue. So that's right now why I'm having a hard time with what's going on, because it's like also like tearing a very important childhood kind of tradition and like memories and all that stuff. So it's been hard, but that's how I started. And then with Angel City, it was just like, why not? It was a women's team. Like, this is a men's team. This is all we've supported so far. It's been, basketball, soccer, football, all men. So to hear that a women's team was coming, it was a no-brainer. And the love for this team is, compared to the Galaxy, I'm sorry, but it's just like 3,000, 10 times, whatever you want to call it, so much more meaningful too. So,
Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, people just go for the environment. Like soccer, obviously,
yeah.
I love soccer. A lot of people do, but ACFC is just like a whole different like vibe.
Yeah.
And that's usually true, but we'll get into why, sometimes it's not so much the case. But now that we're getting into ACFC a little bit, every single podcast, I try to have a player of the podcast. And I was wondering if you would share with us who your favorite player is, and that could be our player of the pod.
Oh my God, absolutely. I feel like she's everybody's, but mine is Sydney LaRue.
Sydney.
100%, all day, every day, anytime, until the day I die. That's my road dog.
But I remember like when we were at that away game and you were like eating at the restaurant and she was there with another player who has retired, and everyone in the big away game group chat was like, buy them their food, we'll all pitch in, and we all pitched in, and I love that.
I think that's one of my fondest memories with them, and it was with Merritt, right? But I just remember, we were sitting down. I don't even know if we have time to share this, but we were sitting down I was with Mia, one of our Mosaic 1781 members that had just moved over there. And I remember she goes, "Hey, look, there's like some people wearing Angel City gear." And I had just landed like an hour before, and she had picked me up. And I had tweeted, I was like, "How long do you guys think it'll take me to like run into somebody like Angel City related?" And not necessarily players, but I just meant like, or other
FO
supporter
or
groups.
whatever, yeah.
FO, yeah, lo que sea. And then she goes, "Oh, look, there's some people wearing like Angel City gear." And I turn around and I was like, "Mia," I was like, "that's just not anybody. That's LaRue and Matthias." Like, so I turn around and you know me, I'm loud. So I literally, like in excitement, I just jumped up and I was like, "Sydney!" And she, like the whole restaurant turns around. But she literally just walked, they literally just walked over. They said hi. I was just chatting with them. That was after the game where Matthias had, I forgot her player's name,
Oh,
but the one that
yeah.
likes to beat people up. So Matthias, gave her a piece of her mind right over her on the grass in the middle of the BMO stadium. So we had that conversation about what she had said to her and everything, but it was the most entertaining breakfast brunch I've ever had. I couldn't believe that I was like literally sitting there. So I was trying to be respectful, but if you know me, you know I'm goofy, I'm anxious, I'm like, I want to be all over the place. So it took like all my might not to, go bother them. But I was like, "Hey, So then I text you guys, the group, and
Yeah.
then you guys were like, "Hey," like, I was like, "They're just sitting here like eating breakfast." And you guys were like, "Yeah, like regular people." And I was like, "Yeah, but they're not regular people.
Not to
They're
us,
Angel City
yeah.
players." Yeah. So it was like the most wholesome thing. You guys all donated money. We called the waiter over. We were like, "Hey, we'd like to buy them, their breakfast. Please don't tell them until like they're done or we're leaving." But though I think she mixed it up. So right before we were leaving, she already had told them. So they called us over and they thanked us and they took a. I exist somewhere in Sydney's phone, which is exciting to
Oh,
me
the
to
little
think.
selfie.
The selfie with her and Merritt and Mia as well. But anyway, you guys are amazing. The encouragement. I was nervous to do any of that, but now I like to walk around and then just go, "Hey, remember when we fed Sydney
And
and
Merritt.
Merritt?" It's the most funniest thing. But yeah. Anyway, sorry if I went off tangent.
No,
Hilarious.
I'm glad we told the story because it's a part of this what ep this episode is, right? How Mosaic and Poderosas and all the other groups get together and we all interact and have a really, really funny breakfast together. Because I was on the road, I was driving during that and the group chat was popping off. It was great. It was so entertaining.
Can you imagine me trying to answer you guys while trying to eat
Yeah,
and while staring at
I
them? This is the weirdest. I was like, I was in La La Land, but the best experience. I still have that thread somewhere
Really?
saved.
That's hilarious. Yeah,
Hilarious.
it was good. It was a good time. But I'm actually really glad that we had that little brief moment of joy because we're gonna get into the last game's actions, right? We've been on a long break to sit down and reflect on this last game that we had at BMO. And yeah, I mean, let's get into it, right? Like, just to start this last game, we were pretty, I feel like, upfront that we were going to do some demonstrations, and we were given restrictions, no mentions of ice, no pictures of ice, like nothing related to ice, and all of our signs were thoroughly checked at security. We've already been censored on our support for Palestine and for protesting against the genocide in the past by
Correct.
BMO. Not that ACFC is completely innocent there, but yeah, we were told all of these things ahead of time, and yet we still had so much friction in the stands. So I was actually surprised that for once Poderosas was not super targeted, even though we definitely broke some rules in that stand. But it was more so the section that Mosaic was in that was being really, really heavily policed by like one particular security person, right?
Same guy. And his name is Juan. I'm gonna name
Yeah,
him. I
drop the
name him.
name. I forgot it, so good job.
I don't know what his last name is, but Juan was the one that was, something was going on with him that day. I'm not gonna give him an excuse. I don't know if that's his typical kind of day, kind of typical interaction with people, but that is pretty horrible. I just, yeah, the disappointment from that game still lives on.
For sure. I mean, like, I only know a few things here and there. I started to kind of notice early on that you know, this was not mentioned ahead of time, but they were taking away signs that mentioned like No Kings, because the No Kings protest was that same day. Yeah, they just kind of started really going overboard and going after things that were unrelated. And I know that, like, obviously we're gonna fight back. Like, what are we gonna do, sit there and stand it? Like, that's not really like who we are as SGs. And yeah, then like he really kind of, he was pretty aggressive. Like, he wasn't nice about it. He wasn't respectful. And yeah, kind of started going after people. But I mean, you were kind of more close and personal to it. Was there anything in particular that you saw that you're like, or I guess, how did it lead up to that moment? I don't understand how it escalated.
No worries. Well, I think kind of like you mentioned, right? We went into this game knowing that there were parameters that we had to, you know, we were being censored in their own way. There were parameters that were set. So like any symbolism, anything related to ICE would be, you know, removed or not allowed, things like that, right? They told us that things would get checked in security, et cetera, et cetera. I'll be honest that even when we checked in through the supporter group section, it was already friction because some of the signs were being taken down and some of the, like, not taken down because we weren't in yet, but were being thrown away or confiscated for saying, you know, it was just like, you know, I can't remember what the specific message on the two were, but it wasn't anything related to ICE, anything, you know, that we had been given rules on. So like immediately we were met at the door with that kind of friction, as you said. You know, we went in, we checked in our banners, exactly like you said, security looked through them and security was like, you're good to go. So we were like, okay. And then mind you, that included banners that are like our logos, right? The Angel City ones that hang up on La Fortaleza as usual. So when we walked inside, we did have a couple, we had two different ones that said, no kings, just queens, right? We had our Juneteenth, because this was our Juneteenth game as well. We had our Juneteenth banner that has been hanging for a long time, and was also has always cleared security, has never been an issue, right? We had that. We did have one that, you know, we did say we included Migra, but we, you know, we didn't say
it's not ICE. That's like a the name of exactly. A previous organization that was
correct. Awful. So, you know, yeah, so, you know, we'll be transparent there that, you know, there was one that, you know, we try to circumvent, but in general I think it was, we don't know when this happened, but basically we put one up on our capo box, which was just like a chess. It was a chess piece. And then it said there was a white chess piece, like the queen, and then the king was like toppled over. And then it said, you know, no kings, just queens. And we had that one in our capo box. We put up our Juneteenth one, so we hung it on the rails in section 103. Our other ones were up top, just the logo ones. But shortly after it went up, maybe 3 minutes of it hanging, Juan, the guy in question, security, came over and was like, this needs to come down. And we're like, why? Like, you guys said no references to ICE, nothing like that. And he goes, it's because it says Kings. So we're like, when did that rule come into play? So I continued asking him and just trying to get, like, when did these rules change kind of thing. And he was like, it needs to come down. He goes, or you need to fold it up or I'm going to bring it down. And we chose not to fold it up. And then he just continued and continued until we finally brought it down. It was one of our other friends from our other supporter group that actually brought it down. So it started with that one. Then shortly after that, he came over to the one that had like Migra on it, and we had done a Tecal one. We're like, y fuera, you know? It was like a, you know,
a callback.
Exactly. Everybody understood that. We're like, you know, out of here. We don't want this here. So he came over and he's like, you need to fold La Migra part up. And we just, you know, the same conversation there, like, you know, like it doesn't say ICE, it doesn't say any, you know, anything that you guys technically blocked. And that one, he left us alone, but we folded it over. Like, honestly, like 3 minutes later, once we had unfolded the Juneteenth one, within 5 or 10 minutes, he was back and he said, and I quote, you have to hide the part that says no police violence.
What the hell?
And I think that's when we were already very frustrated. And, you know, just given the day, a couple of us had come from, you know, the No Kings protest that day in downtown. I was one of them that was there. So to come in and just, you know, deal with this, we were all very frustrated. So when he did that on our Juneteenth like our Juneteenth match. That was, more than a slap on the face. That was incredibly, just inappropriate. And no police, like, that's just, I don't even know, I have no words. So we did, we contacted our liaison, who's like in the middle of all of this, and we were telling him, like, look at what they're doing. And he was trying to do whatever, I guess, he could in that moment, but nothing was changing. And then there was a couple of other, he just kept, kept eyeing us the entire time, going up and down. And after he did that with our Juneteenth banner, that's when I asked him, because I noticed he was wearing an Angel City jacket. I asked him, I was like, do you work for Angel City? And he goes, that's none of your business. And I was like, well, who do you work for? And I could see, like, his credentials, but they were tucked into, like, his jacket.
Wow.
And then, like, it said, like, the lanyard said BMO, but his jacket was like Angel City. And we've talked about this within our supporter group and with other people as well. I don't think I've ever seen him around, so I don't know if he's like a new guy or if he was somebody that was set just for that day. But I thought it was really weird that he was wearing the Angel City and like jacket, and I've never seen him. So I questioned him, and I think that's what probably like set him off even more, because I was like, why are you here? Like, what are you doing? Like, who do you work for? And there was another member of our group too that, went up to him and was like, hey, like, we want your supervisor's number, because we wanted to deal with this, right? We thought it was inappropriate, like everything that he was doing. It was just very condescending, the way he was approaching us, the way that he was ripping things down. And he said, at first he told us that he worked for BMO, or who did he tell us? BMO. But then when we asked for like his information, it was an LAFC email. So we don't know like where that contradiction comes or who he really works for. I do know he's most likely not Angel City. So I told him, I was like, take that jacket off. I was like, you don't even work for them. And I was like, why are you hiding who you work for? And I'm pretty sure that that's what he didn't like. After that, we had another supporter group that put up a sign, and that one said, I forgot what that one said. I would have to look at my picture, but that one he specifically did not like. But we put it on the inside of the capo box so he couldn't get directly to it. So you could just see him like trying to get through the stands. And then eventually he came down with like three other like securities. And then that's when he like ripped that one down. And then when somebody tried to grab it from him, he pushed another supporter group's like family member. And then that's when we, like, that's like, what do you say? Like, you're putting hands on people
That's
over an
completely
ICE
out of
sign.
line.
So that happened. And then I think shortly after that, we could hear a commotion, like, after everything was going on. So we looked up, and it was those security guards that had come down. They had taken, like, those Burger King crowns, like the king one, from a couple that was like up on the closer to the like supporter level of the bar. And they were removing their crowns, because apparently you can't wear crowns
Wow.
at BMO. So to be fair, it was just a whole game of constantly just watching this guy come and remove stuff and act very aggressively towards us, and not really responding to anything we were asking, because we were within those parameters for the most part. And he was just, I don't know, he made that very personal. And it's incredibly frustrating. And until this day, I know we've met with like, the front office and stuff like that to ask questions, but we don't really have a lot of answers to that.
It really strikes me specifically that he's covering his credentials, because
I think so.
that's what ICE is doing, right? They're putting masks on their faces. Like that's like t that's terrible. Like that's terror, and he's just like another representation of it, and not wanting to identify himself. That's crazy. 'Cause like, what authority do you have then? So.
And then, even when we were asking clearly, like, what's your name? Like, who do you work for? It was evident that he didn't want to provide that. And then I think you could tell within like our crowd too, like our members and things like that, people started feeling uncomfortable, and people were like, do you want us to do something? We're like, no, we're gonna remain, we have to do our stuff here and do our best to speak up after. But a lot of the members were like, you really need like four securities just to take down like one sign. So it definitely was not a welcoming environment, not conducive to what we were trying to build there as a community and have worked so hard to do. And then coming from, those protests and considering everything going on, it was a horrible experience, to deal with, in a place that, that day was missing. What do we average in La Fortaleza? I don't know. We have to be in the thousands, right? That whole section maybe. And we were just a fraction of that. We were a pittance of that, right? Like, it was so empty. So many of our brothers and sisters were missing. And we were there to represent them, to the people that didn't feel safe, to the people that unfortunately can't be out there. And to have that happen to us, it's just incredibly frustrating. And I'm still very pissed off about it. And I don't want to say that I'm glad that they missed it or anything like that, but it just comes to show, like, I'm glad they didn't experience that, to those that missed it, because that would have been even, even more horrible. And it's dumb to even say that, but
No, that's very fair. And my follow-up to this was going to be, has anything come from it since then? Have there been any repercussions? And it sounds like that's a big no. And there's no accountability so far, not from BMO, not from Juan, not from anyone.
No, and I think, as supporter groups, we're pushing for that information. We want to know, like, whose call this was, like, who makes these kind of rules. How do these rules change? Like, there's a lot of questions we're asking behind the scenes, and we're trying to get those answers. I don't know if we will, but I want to be transparent that those questions have been put out there. It's just we're waiting to see, like, what's going on. But this hasn't been, like, as you know, October 15th,
Yeah.
right? It was a big,
Yeah,
yeah, it's
of
like with
course.
the statement, like, cut our legs from under us, regarding, banning all the flags that have been flying for year, like a year,
The
months,
entire time.
in solidarity with Palestine, and then everything, that Poderosa, like, you guys as a group have been putting up, like, nothing, up to that point. Leading up to that point, everybody was okay. Like, in the community, we could respect each other, right? There was no in-group fight, like, there was nothing going on. And then you pushed us against the wall, right? And you pushed us against each other, and you set security on your own supporters. And that was, that's been an ongoing battle. So I think, like, leadership groups of all our supporter groups have been wanting to have these meetings and discuss with security, and that's never really come to fruition. So I can't sit here and say, like, Angel City has nothing to do with it, because we know 100% that that's most likely not true. We don't know, like, what their level of involvement is, but we do know, like, we want them to step up in whatever way they can with BMO or with LAFC, whoever it is, because one of the things we've also discussed is LAFC, even this weekend, have been able to display banners with no repercussions that say ICE and mention immigration and all kinds of things, with none of those signs coming down. And we think it's interesting that there's a double standard there, so we're trying to figure out, like, where that's coming from. I would be curious to know how we're gonna be, treated in a sense this coming upcoming game as well. So there's a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of frustrations from that, as obviously, like, anybody would feel. But yeah, those double standards are just very glaring.
They are. And because when I think of the LAFC supporter section, if you try to come after like that particular crowd, you're gonna have a lot of resistance, and it's gonna get ugly really, really fast. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, what is ACFC a training ground for these like bullies to like deal with certain escalations? Are we just like the whatever like more docile version of that, and you think like you're angry about something? Like, I don't know, there's a lot of like, I'm reading into it, this is all alleged, but like,
Yeah, all of us are.
no, but it's like, it's pretty messed up, because you're right, if they can display stuff, then we should be able to display stuff, especially if ACFC is on board. And it's ridiculous. So I don't know, I just hope that this serves as some kind of like official and permanent, because this will be on the feeds, like call out to BMO Stadium and whoever it is that Juan works for to like speak up and like actually like have some accountability, because what the hell?
Yeah, and I think with even with Juan Huizar, I think was his last name, but I just think, even if that was your job and what to do, the way that you approach people and your aggressive demeanor and just the intent that you had, like, with your body language, like, it was very evident from the beginning. So there was, like, no conversations. It was like, this doesn't matter to you. Like, I don't have to answer any of those questions. When in fact, yeah, you do. You're employed by somebody. You have a job to do. You clearly didn't do it correctly that day. And I'm wondering, like, how far you went off of what your job duties were, or if that's what you were instructed to do. But I find that hard to that we're gonna get those answers to that question anyway. But it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous to have a shirt that says Immigrant
Immigrant
City
City
FC
Football
and
Club.
then to have, you know, signs that said immigrants be taken down. So, yeah, incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, thank you so much for opening up. I can't,
Yeah.
I mean, I can kind of imagine what your group's been going through with all of that because we had that previous experience and, you know, it really weighs on a group and on a person, especially when you have that direct interaction with those people who are being aggressive and awful towards you. So thank you for opening that up and for like
Yeah, of
sharing
course.
that and for being, you know, emotionally open to that because it's not easy and I can appreciate that. It probably takes a little bit out of you.
Oh, yeah, good. Thank you for, you know, providing and asking. I think the more transparent we can be with the things that are going on, is helpful for the community, you know, and especially now, like, why hide anything that's, you know, not standing right with us? We did release, we put up a video, like a compilation of some of that stuff on our Mosaic 1781 TikTok, and we had very interesting comments in that section. You know, some very well intentioned, some, you know, you have those people out there that really believe, you know, that our people and immigrants don't belong here. And you know, you can only imagine some of those comments. But you know, we put it out there for people to see. We tagged Angel City and we wanted to be very direct on that, like that whatever happened was not okay.
Yeah, I mean, look at the kind of hate that it breeds, right?
Yeah, no.
Man, okay. Well, once upon a time,
Sorry.
this, no, don't be. Once upon a time, this podcast was about soccer, so I guess let's get into a little bit of soccer.
Let's go.
I guess this can kind of serve as a little mid-season check-in for ACFC, the team, not, you know, everything that comes with it on the outside. But, you know, a little shout out. I just want to say it. Sarah Gordon has been going hard on
She
the like,
has.
you know, anti-ICE social media stuff. And I really, really love that she's showing out that support because not everyone is, right? Especially anybody that has a big following, but she is, and she's like standing on business. So I really appreciate Sarah Gordon. That's our co-captain, and yeah, really grateful to have her.
Yeah, and it's not even shout outs, you know, she was just like, send me people that need help. Send me links to like these events, send me links to these, you know, these GoFundMes or whatever it might be. And, you know, she was reposting, I'm sure on her end, she probably donated, and things like that. But just to see someone, you know, our captain, like that's why she's a captain. She's a leader, she's out there, she's vocal, she's not shy about it. You know, shout out to Ali and Sydney on BFFR as well. You know, they're wearing those shirts very proudly, and you know, they've been talking about this as well. They talked about the reception of the shirts too and everything, right? And you know them, they just shut everything down and they were like they're, you know, they kept it on the positive side, like this was meant to be good. And didn't really let the, you know, those individuals that were being very negative about it, you know, come through. So, you know, shout out to everybody on the players too, because that's so important. I've seen Lily Nabet repost a few things and a couple of other players, but it's a lot more than I've seen from any other sports team. And you know, I'm so proud of Angel City. I'm excited to be back on Saturday. I don't know. I'm just very, very grateful to be in community with you guys again as we're going through all of this, and to be with this team and represent it and see it continuing to do what it is like for our community. They get some stuff right. They definitely got this one. They might not always get it right, but they definitely got this one right.
Yeah, they're standing with us, and also for us that are very, very into the soccer part of it, they've made other moves that, you know, we're going to hopefully see come into fruition. So
Oh yeah.
getting into these ACFC updates and where we're going from here, we got a new coach, Alexander Strauss. We only got a quick little glimpse of him before we went on break, but that's actually, I think, a positive thing because he's had a lot of one-on-one time with players and he's had a lot of success in the past with building teams up and more importantly, like winning, right? Like
Yes. He's a winning
actual
coach.
bringing home the medal. So I'm excited to see where it goes, even if this becomes kind of like a building year. He's also brought in so much new talent. We like an official welcome to the team to Sophia Matisse, Evelyn Shores, Sarah Dorson, And last but certainly not least, Svendis, John's daughter, who, I mean, I think Svendis. That they're all ballers. I mean, I'm really excited.
Absolutely. International level as well, right? National team players. It's exciting. It's exciting. One, Shores is going to be midfield, right? So we need to shore up there.
Yes.
Last name kind of goes. That's funny. Shore up Shores. And then, you know, just I don't know how to pronounce that daughter part at the end, right? I recently figured that out, that all of them have like that.
The
I
daughter.
Was like, why do they all have the same? Yeah, I was like, why do they all have the same last name? And then somebody filled me in and I was like, oh, okay, there we go. But, you know, just thinking of like her in the front line. And to be fair, I didn't know much about her. And then I saw like the highlights and then how hyped everybody else was. And then I looked at her game highlights and I was like, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And then to see her play recently, like, you know, with the national team, I was like, you're going to be good here, girl. We're fine. Yeah.
And I mean, she's playing for Iceland, who obviously, you know, isn't the strongest national team out there, mm-hmm. but she's balling out. And we kind of we are also a struggling team that needs someone to ball out. So mm-hmm. totally fine. Because mm-hmm. our last five games, that's
have been brutal.
That's four losses and one draw. So, you know, mind you, we haven't even been facing the toughest competitors in the league necessarily. Like, mm-hmm. this was Utah, Louisville that we struggled, Chicago. Like, that's sad, you know what I'm saying? But we have nowhere to go but up right now. And,
right.
And yeah, but we have new talent to play with. We have a new coach that apparently is very passionate, and press has said some things about his style on her podcast, which, mm-hmm. you know, congratulations or not congratulations to Tobin Heath on her retirement. But but I'm still excited because this upcoming game is a friendly against a USL team, which shout out to the USL Super League, because, you know, another league for women in the States. That's fun. But also, we're going to kick their ass. So it's like, I can't wait to see us win.
Listen, I hope you're right. But, you know, given our trajectory and some of our inconsistencies.
We consistently win friendlies. I'll say that much.
You know what? You're not wrong. We were laughing about that with the Bay, right? We never win like regular mm-hmm. season or like when it matters. But we win like the cups or
when we have the fun. Yeah.
Well, we have the fun, yeah. I think I'm on the same boat with you. I was super excited to hear, too, on the Re-Yank podcast, right, of how Kristen had asked them that question at training, right? Like, hey, like, how do I, you know, how do we get that flow? And then the metaphors that he gave her and how excited he was. He's like, you know, see, you see these birds and whatever.
Whatever
that was the whole thing. Yeah, whatever that was.
This is football.
But she started, but I could just imagine that, right? And it's pretty funny because you think of like a movie, right? Where you can imagine like him pointing at like a whiteboard to like a national, like Kristen Press, you know, like a renowned soccer player. So, and like to hear her say that she's still learning or she's excited to learn from him, like, oh my gosh, what does that locker room look like? What does the field look like right now, you know? And again, like they mentioned, we can't, I don't think we can expect someone to turn it out like mid-season, like turn around a whole team that's been, you know, struggling and getting players to fit in correctly. But I'm excited for our new players. I think it's only, like you said, it's only a positive way up, even if it's not this season, maybe it's next, right? But I think we do have like the correct puzzle, you know, pieces in place. It's just more of like how we fit them together and go from there. Also, I think the refs are a whole other
they
situation.
Are definitely like,
obviously, like we shoot ourselves in the foot, and you know we can't go into overtime and win a game ever. But the refs have been atrocious too, so that's a whole other topic. I'm sure we could have a whole other episode just on that.
It wouldn't be an ACFC episode without complaining about a ref.
Right. Yeah. And then again, we shouldn't rely on the refs to be able to call these games, right, for the most part. But I quite a few of our games we would have had not, you know, that officiating be horrible.
Yeah.
I'm excited that June is back.
Honestly, right? Like, yeah. Hallelujah. June Endo's back. She scored against the Bay. Didn't let us mm-hmm. let them beat us for once at their home. Very, very nice.
She played 30 minutes and scored the, you know,
the win, the only goal. The tie. Yeah.
the tango, yeah.
No,
So,
yeah.
I'm excited there. I'm excited to see, we still haven't even had Sid back. And Sid, she could come in and turn on the fire with everything. So, once that, I know with losing, having Savvy go down and everything that happened with her, that line kind of, you don't really think of that, right? Because you were focused on her being okay. But then you also really see the missing piece. Like, she was a pretty big, she's huge back there. So
Yeah.
you could definitely see there's big shoes to fill for whoever takes that role on.
Which apparently is Sarah Dorson, and she's supposed to be quite wonderful, and I'm glad to have that, temporarily while we get our king back,
Yes.
and hopefully, everybody comes back refreshed from the break as well, because please be rested. Yeah, I am excited, and I do like everything you said. Like, yeah, I'm totally with you there. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it's gonna look like, but I want to start having fun at these games again. You know what I mean? Like, I want to celebrate some goals.
Yeah. You know what? I have this standing. We have a couple in our Mosaic 1781. We have a couple that, they're out there. They're both lawyers. And they've been very honest. They're like, we are so stressed, like outside of work. They're like, we don't want to come to a game and see
Be
our
more
team
stressed.
consistently be stressed and see them lose. And I'm laughing because, like, for me, I love going to the games. I don't even care if we look like, I'm still having fun with you guys or the Capo Box or whatever it is that we're doing. Like, I still have fun. Like, it's incredibly frustrating, like, when the game's over and we lose and things like that. But, like, you're still in community, so I have a blast. But no, like, they are like, no. Like, we are not paying to go and, like, be more anxious and stressed and all this stuff. And it makes me laugh. They're still season ticket members, but they're just very honest about that. So, like, for us that season ticket members and supporters, like, we can see this. We're like, hey, we're gonna, it's a it, like, we're gonna ride. We ride till dawn, right? Until all of this kind of goes. But for some other fans and things like that, it might not be the same situation. So I do
Yeah.
hope we turn it around. But with that said too, I want to acknowledge, like, these players, like, with everything that's been happening in LA, even from the beginning of the year, with the fires and everything, and then now our community, and then Savvy's game and medical situation, like, this team, I can only imagine, like, all the
It's a
outside pressure
lot.
for them. Yeah, because if we're feeling it and they have to, be on the field and then perform and do their stuff, I can only imagine, like, their situation as well. So I like being mindful of that as well.
Yeah, I mean, when Sid took that mental health break and a few other players took that
Absolutely.
mental health break, like, we're this season in particular happened to be a season where we're like, okay, this is why they need it. Like, it's hard. It's tough out here. And you know what? Me too. I took a mental health break. That's why this podcast hasn't gone on.
Oh, good for
Had
you.
a lot
Good for you for
going
noticing
on, you
that.
know what I mean? And yeah, it just, when you can't do it, you can't do it, and you don't want to come and do it wrong. So,
Right.
yeah,
Yeah,
so.
and I think, like, even for Sid, like, to see what's interesting about Sid too is that, like, nobody saw that coming, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's like, she's just out there, she's performing, she's doing her thing. Like, nobody would have ever thought something was wrong. So that's scary, right? Because you think, like, this individuals out there that are presenting this way and things like that. And I'm just so happy for her to have spoken out and gotten the help or working through what she needs to. But it's a heavy reminder of, a lot of people are going through things in our community, and we just have to be very mindful of how we interact with everybody, right? Because we don't know what everybody's going through. So.
Yeah, that's a lovely reminder. I think we all need to keep that in mind when, people are absent or, quiet.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
hopefully we are not quiet this weekend against Carolina Ascent. Or, we have a big stretch of away games coming up. The first one is in Seattle. Seattle has done a lot of break, moves. They got big fish. I'm so jealous. But yeah, they've also made a lot of moves, so it's going to be interesting to see how they do because they have a great coach. They've been playing terribly, but they have a great coach. And then after that we have San Diego, so that's basically a home game, but still, like, technically an away game. So it'll this friendly will be the last, still be the last game for a while at BMO. So BMO, you still have some time to get your shit together, figure it out.
Before we're back home, yes,
Before we
correct.
come back with, never mind, let me not say that. So, yeah, I'm still excited. I still believe in the girls. They're still my favorite team of all the teams in the world. And I can't wait to see what happens, right? Even if we get to catch a few glimpses of joy, I'll be happy. Or I'm going to try to be. So
we'll take the little wins for sure.
Yeah, every single goal. So we're going to end up this podcast plugging some stuff, my plugs section. Starting with the LA business of the podcast, do you happen to have a local Los Angeles business that you'd like to highlight for this episode?
Yes, I don't have a business, you know, like a restaurant you can walk into and things like that. But, you know, considering everything that's been going on in our community, I do want to highlight. Is that okay to highlight on Instagram? You know, I follow them on Instagram, but so it's Brown Issues on Instagram. And then also Homeboy Industries. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but they had it was called Hope Alley, and they brought out a bunch of vendors, and they had funds to, you know, it was just like from 10 to 2 o'clock, like 2 weeks ago. It was a beautiful turnout, and, you know, there was merch. That kind of stuff makes me emotional, but it's like, you know, for the people that aren't able to be out there, and, you know, they're coming together for our community and providing funds for our vendors as well, and just a beautiful shout out. So, both pages show, you know, they're updating news as they go. They're linking, you know, where other people can provide support to our vendors and our communities in multiple ways. They also have merch that's going out. They have a couple of shirts that are absolutely beautiful. So I just encourage people to go out and keep watching those pages, because they're one, positive, they're being very transparent, but also very active in the community. So wanted to pass that on for you guys.
For sure. And I'll follow up with you and grab some links and Instagram pages, sure. And I'll put all of this in the description of this episode, so you guys can go check that out now or after, but just make sure you go check it out. Other than that, do you have anything else that you've been, I don't know, reading or watching or like podcast, anything else that you're like, oh, you know what, let me put this out into the world?
Honestly, not anything that I'm specifically reading. I am keeping an eye out on any social media pages, to be fair, anywhere that I see that are pages that are sharing information, or kind of like I said, you know, it's like adopt a corner, right? Buy out a vendor, anything like that, anything that could help, that's giving service, immigration links and services, and, you know, everything from where to contact if somebody's missing to, hey, let's, you know, feed somebody today. So everything in between. Honestly, I'm just staying online as much as I can. I've also been going out to the protests and any kind of activation in the community. That's where I ran into a couple of, you know, poderosas. And we ended up at King Taco with Claudia and just having such a beautiful talk about our, about how we were raised and like our education. Like I didn't, you know, we both talked that we had masters, and, you know, it was just incredibly humbling at the same time, but also so impressive that, you know, we were all around each other and we don't even know this stuff, you know, educated Latinas and helping out there in the community. So that was incredibly exciting. But the other thing that you didn't mention was the Salvi2 lunch. You forgot.
What do you mean? I mentioned it at the top of the gate.
Did you mention it in the beginning? Episode. Never mind. I forgot. I'm excited. I'm Salvi. So I'm bringing my mama for her second Angel City game. You did. But one of the things with Salvi2 lunch is when I saw the bandana go out, did you see it?
Oh, yeah. They have a bandana.
Yeah, they have a bandana. So when I saw, like, you know, you read through their whole description and at the bottom where it says a part of the proceeds are going to the vendors, like, that made me emotional again, because I was like, good job, Angel City. You know, you're partnering. I know Salvi2 lunch is leading the way with this, but that money's going back and we're being a part of that. I love that.
Yeah, I love them. I love them as an organization. I feel like I've run into them in like five different sections of my world, you know, and I'm glad that they ran into the ACFC as well. So yeah. Super shout out to them. Grab, you know, that ticket link, buy somebody a ticket through that ticket link. I'm excited to see what we also show up with in the stands regarding like the Salvadorian, you know, pride, and, you know, hopefully we get some cool like signs and art up.
Yeah, no, that's gonna be fun. Last year was incredibly fun, and I know it was big last year, so I'm hoping it's a great turnout this year. Considering everything's going on, you know, we want to see that representation in the stands too. So
definitely. I mean, my personal recommendation is what me and one of my best homies, Olive, has been doing. She's also my neighbor, and we have been, you know, going around and just like talking to our local street vendors who, you know, were just like hearing them out and hearing what their needs are, and not, to be honest, throwing them just a ton of money when we can. And yeah, just so I would say do that if you're in your local community. That's an easy thing, right? Like, go give them your money for dinner instead of McDonald's, and you know, encourage them to be as safe as possible. So
Yeah, and then anytime those eloteros come by, right?
hear
You
the
hear
you hear the little
champurrados in the
bell
morning.
for
Oh,
sure.
absolutely. I'm running out, and I'm doing that. I'm being like you said, I'm being very mindful of where my money's going as well. And it not that I wasn't noticing that, but it's so much more just intensified in me now that I'm like, no, you're not stopping here. You're gonna go find a vendor. You're gonna have dinner here. You're gonna pass on whatever extra money I have to them. So I love that you're doing that as well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I also really love the food, so it's like a win-win. So,
Win-win situation.
yeah. I mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to mention it again. The Poderosas social media, especially Instagram, Poderosas underscore ACFC, we have a link tree on our profile that
Yes.
has so many resources, and people have worked on this, you know, really like put a lot of work into it. And we also post every single day. Shout out to Emily. So, and of course, Ruby, if you follow Ruby, if you want to plug your social media, like check it out, stay informed, inform the people around you, and keep each other safe.
Yeah, thank you, Mindy. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me, especially a little bit last minute.
That's okay.
excited to see you at the game soon, and hopefully we can kick it.
All right, cool. Sounds good.
All right, bye everybody, and thank you for listening.